There is something far too familiar, in retrospect, about the whole thing. At Waco, just as at Abu Ghraib, the U.S. government behaved like a grotesque caricature of itself. The anti-big government American right wing had harbored paranoid fantasies about the Clinton administration heavy-handedly destroying the lives of simple people who wanted to live free, and Waco was the place where those conspiracy theories came true. Much of the Iraqi population had been fed similarly wild conspiracy theories about American imperialistic hedonism, that the United States was violently out of control and determined to force its corruption and decadence on the devout. And Abu Ghraib was the place where those conspiracy theories came true. But there is a more disturbing parallel. David Koresh's Branch Davidians also seem to have been considered guinea pigs in the midst of a long-awaited golden opportunity. An opportunity to try stuff out. Back in 1993, the problem for advocates of out-of-the-box thinking within the U.S. government and military establishments was that there was nobody suitably wicked out there on whom to test their ideas. The outlook was so hopeful, in fact, that a U.S. State Department social scientist called Francis Fukuyama declared in 1989, to widespread international acclaim, that it was the end of history. Western democratic capitalism had proved so superior to all its historical rivals, wrote Fukuyama, that it was finding acceptance everywhere in the world. There was simply nothing nefarious out there on the horizon. Although this eventually turned out to be just about the worst prediction ever, in 1993 it seemed too real. These were the fallow years for those who wanted to experiment with new ideas on suitable adversaries. And then the Waco siege came along. First there were the noises. Midway through the siege, in the middle of March 1993, the sounds of Tibetan Buddhist chants, screeching bagpipes, crying seagulls, helicopter rotor blades, dentist drills, sirens, dying rabbits, a train, and Nancy Sinatra's "These Boots Are Made for Walking" began to blast into the church. It was the FBI, in this instance, who did the blasting. There were 79 members of David Koresh's congregation in there, including 25 children, 27 if you count the unborn ones. Some of the parishioners put cotton wool in their ears, a luxury that was later unavailable to Jamal at Guantanamo and the prisoners inside the shipping containers in Al-Qaim. Others apparently tried to enjoy it by ironically pretending it was a disco. This wasn't easy, as one of them, Clive Doyle, told me when I telephoned him.